What is spiritual formation and why is it so important? How do we practice spiritual formation? What are the components of a practical yet effective model for spiritual formation? If you have questions, we have answers. It's all things spiritual formation right here, right now on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Hey, welcome back to the Five Gifts Podcast. We're excited to be with you on another Monday morning again. It may not be Monday for you. You might be catching us on our podcast feed, Apple, or Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. We're all over the place. Or you may be watching us on our YouTube channel, and that's great. We are glad to have you with us. And every week we try to offer topics that are helpful for spiritual leaders in the local church. Whether you're in full-time ministry or whether you're serving in a volunteer capacity, we really appreciate what you do, and we want to be a resource for you, empowering and equipping you to be your very best in what the Lord has put before you to do at this time in your life. Charles, it's great to be back today. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Absolutely. This is always a highlight of my week, being able to get on the podcast, do an episode, have a great conversation about church leadership, today's spiritual formation, just in how we can intentionally lead the church, lead ourselves personally, and help to lead others. So, it's always a great day when we're here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, last week we had a chance to get out of town for a few days with some fellow ministers in our fellowship, and we spent some time down in Myrtle Beach, and I had a restful time. I enjoyed the ministry. We also had a chance to meet with some fellow ministers and ask them to reflect on their own strategies for spiritual formation, whether it was for their own lives or how they're leading spiritual formation in the congregations that they lead. So we wanted to give you a chance to check them out. And so here are their videos right now.
So thinking about like my personal formation or spiritual formation and growth and things like that, you know, I've always done the prayer, devotions, time with God, that kind of thing, worship. Recently though, I came to the point where like I was always talking. And I was always asking, and I was the one who was always doing all the talking and the information given and all that. And I just felt like God say, are you ever gonna let me talk? Because, you know, it was just always what I had to say. And it reminded me of like when you have a conversation with somebody and you have something really important to tell them and they always cut you off and you never get to tell them and the conversation ends. So that's what it was like. So I've come to the point where I sit in silence for a moment of time. Sometimes it's 30 minutes, sometimes it's longer. But when I begin that process, I ask God three questions, and they were recommended to me by somebody, and I appreciate that, but it's, what would you like to tell me today? What conversation have I been avoiding having with you? And what is my greatest liability in not allowing your plan to be completed in my life? And then I sit and I listen. I don't have my Bible, I don't have a journal, I don't have music playing or anything else, just silence. And I sit with God and I give him the space to talk to me. And it has been such a profound change in my life, right? Because if the Holy Spirit, like we're always prone to open up our journal and start writing or reading the Bible and everything, but if the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, and he's going to speak to us when we're done, and we can still write it down to remember it. And so that's what I do. And through that practice, it has just really just increased my personal relationship with him and just really being in tune to what he is speaking to me, even outside of those silent times. And we've even implemented that during our week of prayer at churches. And I've been getting so much feedback from the people in the church about how it has changed their personal time with God. And so give God a chance to actually speak to you.
Spiritual formation for me has always come, there's two things that I always have to have. first is a plan. I like to tell myself what I'm going to do, what are the bars that I want to meet, what is the schedule that I want to stay on. The first time I read the Bible through, I decided I was going to read it through in 3 months, and I succeeded in 4 months, which was faster than I had ever read before. So it's important to give yourself a plan and then give yourself the grace, even if it begins to slide. That's the same thing for my church. I encourage my church to do a Bible reading plan with me. I hold them accountable. I give them the plan. I encourage them. I walk alongside them. And then when they start falling, I don't say, well, give up. I say, hey, it's all right. Let's try to finish it within a few weeks later. And so I always try to bring two things. One, a plan. And the second thing is accountability. For years in my spiritual life, having a mentor, a coach in my life that I've been able to confess things to and then them to help me walk out of those things has been very helpful. So I think the two major things is knowing where you want to go, making the plan to get there, and secondly, having accountability, a mentor, someone who can hold you accountable and ask how you're doing along the journey is essential to spiritual formation.
We want to thank Pastor Crystal Owens and Pastor Webb Hoggard for sharing their experiences. We've included their profiles and contact information in the show notes, and you're welcome to follow them to check in on what they do. They both have exciting seasons in their church. They're seeing growth. They're seeing a lot of vitality. And I think if you have a chance to check up on them further, they'll appreciate that. But also you get a pretty unique perspective on what God is doing up in the northeast corner of our state. That's where both of their ministries are located. And so we encourage you to check them out and follow them. Charles, tell us where we're going today in our podcast.
Well, today we're talking about spiritual formation, and that can sound like a pretty broad and wide open topic. And so I think we're going to do our best to narrow some of that down, maybe define spiritual formation a little bit, and then, like we try to do each week, try to talk about some practical points of application that we can put into practice. So as we get into our discussion today, Bruce, on the topic of spiritual formation, there's a lot of ideas about how we practice spiritual formation, but maybe we should begin with some definition of what spiritual formation actually is. So, you know, you're Dr. Bruce, you know, so help us out. The good doctor's in the house. Help us out. What is spiritual formation?
Well, we want to thank you for joining us on the Five Gifts podcast today, because I really don't have a lot to offer. Charles is making it out to be a lot more than it is. No, seriously. I do care about spiritual formation. It's something I've always been inclined to, just as a leader, that where I feel like my gifts are. I would say some people equate spiritual formation with discipleship, but it really is the work of evangelism and discipleship. Spiritual formation involves the work of the Holy Spirit in a pre-Christian all the way through a fully mature believer. And so it's really something that never stops in terms of heaven's side. Heaven is always wanting to bring people in and through Christ's redemption. And so I think we need to widen our perspective on what it is. It doesn't just exist in the local church. It's something that exists even in the evangelistic ministries of the local church. But if you're asking for a definition, I lean into a tried and tested one that was put up by Dallas Willard. And we'll talk more about him in a little bit. But he describes spiritual formation as the process of the Holy Spirit building the inner world of our lives so that we become more like the inner being of Christ. And the result is then a person's outer life begins to reflect what's happening on the inside. It begins to express the character, the nature, the behaviors, and the ministries of Jesus. So I think in the New Testament, we have several places we could turn to. I think it's important for us because of the nature of our podcast and what we like to talk about in the ministries of the church, because we believe very strongly in fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry is all about spiritual formation. It's all about seeing the building up of Christ's life in the church so that we're expressing that life through the church. One of Paul's greatest burdens. He describes it in Galatians 4:19. He says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth, again, until Christ is formed in you." So that urgent, diligent, ceaseless, sometimes painful work of apostolic ministry is seeing Christ formed in the believers that we lead, seeing Christ fully formed in the churches that we lead. And again, you know, Charles, a familiar passage for us is Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. And it speaks about the apostolic work, prophetic work, evangelistic work, the work of the pastor, the work of the teacher. They all go toward bringing forth the image of Jesus in the church. And that goes from the single believer through the whole body. And so in Ephesians 4:12, he mentions that those leadership roles are for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. Edifying simply means the upbuilding of the body of Christ. Until we all come to unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God. And this is the key phrase, to a perfect man. And what is the definition of a perfect man? Paul describes it as the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, that doesn't happen overnight. That's a process. That takes time. And it's the leadership of the local church. It's incumbent upon him. It's their mandate within the local church to begin to build and form and shape the life of Jesus in partnership with the work of the Holy Spirit through them as leaders. So I would say when we talk about spiritual formation, you and I like to think about three specific streams. We call them streams of the expression of Jesus. And so one place we turn to is the stream of Christ's nature and character. And we can embody that just in what we see in the fruit of the Spirit, that work of the Holy Spirit, birthing, bringing forth, nurturing, and eventually seeing the flowering and then the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so that's our character. That's our nature. I think it's very important to remember that as Jesus says, you know, in Matthew chapter 7, he says, you'll know a tree by its fruit. And so those who abide in Christ, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, then you're my disciples. And I think that's important to remember, that the fruit of our lives in Jesus will always express Jesus. And so we can see that in the fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentions, like in Galatians chapter 5, other places, but Galatians 5 is the big passage. So the stream of Christ's nature and character. The second will be the stream of Christ's power and ministry gifts. You know, this is the exciting side. I think most people think this, I happen to think the fruit is exciting. But a lot of people think of the dynamic flow of the Holy Spirit and the wonderful gifts of the Spirit. Well, those reflect Christ. Everything that you see in spiritual gifts, just like all that we see in the five gifts of that we talk about so much, all of the gifts of the Spirit, they embody the power, the ministry of Christ's serving gifts. And I think it's important to note that when it comes to Jesus, he specifically said that in his absence, in the coming of the Holy Spirit, his physical absence, when he would be crucified, be buried, rise on the third day, but then ascend to the Father, ascending to the Father, he would send the Holy Spirit. And the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit is to enable us to continue the works of Jesus. In fact, he says, "Well, greater works than these will you do in my name, because I go to the Father." So those gifts of the Holy Spirit are clearly, while we don't say that they're necessarily the fruit of the Spirit, they are in a way fruit. They embody a life that is connected to Jesus, full of the Spirit, and expressing the life of Jesus through ministry. So with the stream of Christ's nature, the stream of Christ's power and ministry, but also the stream of Christ's present activity. Jesus embodied a guiding relationship with the Father. He never did anything outside of the Father speaking to him or showing him his activity. And I think that's important as a Christian, that we remember that we live in a dynamic relationship with God and we follow his leading. Some call it walking in the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. Those are good metaphors to understand what it means to follow the present activity of the Lord in our lives. You're going to find God has seasons. God has steps. God has long-term purposes, short-term purposes. But it's important for us to be open and available to Him and welcome the stream of His present activity. So those three streams, I think, are a good place to start when we talk about spiritual formation. Those are the outflows, if you will, of Christ's life. But one of the greatest challenges in spiritual growth is striking the right balance between our role in spiritual formation, whether we're leading that or working on our own individual spiritual formation. What is the balance between our role and God's role? Because clearly, if God's not involved in it, we don't have a lot to go on. Spiritual formation is the reflection of God's activity, but it's matched with our effort. It's matched with our intentionality to become more and more like Christ. If we take on too much, though, personally, we risk falling into a works-based mindset, and that leads to self-righteousness. It can lead to legalism. It can lead to burnout. On the other hand, if we do too little, I think we miss out on this deep, abiding, genuine, dynamic relationship with God, and we'll begin to lack some of the transformation we could be experiencing. So striking the right balance is crucial for spiritual growth. And but, you know, we tend to lean into one extreme or the other. And a lot of times we do that without even realizing it. So that can affect our lives. It can make it difficult to see where we need to adjust. So the more we become imbalanced, I think the worse off we are. So, Charles, how can we find a balanced approach to spiritual formation in our personal lives and as spiritual leaders who want to help others grow toward maturity?
Sure. I think that's a great question to ask. And man, you really brought out some great points there, especially talking about, in those three streams of the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and then the activity of Christ, which again, the Holy Spirit helps illuminate and it helps us to identify. I think that's a great place to start of balance. Just staying in those streams helps bring us to a place of balance. Just a question for you, Bruce. Do you think those streams? Do you think one is ever highlighted? I don't mean in importance, but I just mean in their level of intensity or function in our lives. Or do we need to focus on keeping all three of those kind of even and parallel, or do those streams kind of fluctuate maybe seasonally? One may be stronger than the other.
Charles, that is a great observation, because I think we've all experienced the emphasis on one maybe more than the other. You know, where I would lean into is to say that we strive for balance, mm-hmm. personally. You know, I mean, I would encourage people to strive for balance in learning to recognize where does the fruit of the Spirit need to happen more in my life. And I may need to emphasize that more in terms of character. Mm-hmm. If I'm honest and, you know, I'm allowing the Lord to work in me, I think that's always a great place to work. So we strive for balance, whether it's growing in spiritual fruit, growing in spiritual gifts, growing in learning to respond to the voice of the Lord. I would encourage, let God be the emphasizer.
Okay.
You know, let God take the lead in it. That, you know, if we think of God as the spiritual director, if God is the one directing, the Holy Spirit directs, and He probably will set the pace for us. So it's important just to keep following Him, but strive for balance, but maybe stay according to His leading. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for some clarity on that, and for some more emphasis on the streams of Christ's life for us. So as we continue to talk about balance, there's a gentleman named Dallas Willard. Is a Christian philosopher, distinguished professor at USC. He researched, wrote, taught extensively on the subject of Christian spiritual formation. He proposed a model for spiritual formation that's known as the vision, intention, means, or the VIM. It's an excellent overall model of how we go about engaging with God in ways that are transformative. So let's just talk about this model that Willard proposes for us. First of all, is vision. Vision is the clear picture of what we desire to be. Transformation requires a vision for what life can look like. And for the Christian, we understand Jesus always defines that vision. So again, he's the director, as Bruce has just talked about. Jesus always defines that vision. He is that vision for us. So there's the first component of this highly effective process for spiritual formation is vision. Then we have the second letter, is intention. And intention is the decisive will to pursue the vision in a clear pathway. In other words, to do everything, excuse me. In other words, it's to do everything that that we can to make the vision become a reality. So quite simply, intention means we are taking action on the vision. And third is the means. Means are the specific things that we can do to foster transformation. Means can include things like books, classes, small groups, spiritual disciplines, again, a spiritual director or a mentor. Whatever it is that we use to cultivate the vision, that's what we would consider means. So again, vision, intention, and means, this process by which we are formed spiritually. As we talk about vision, even among deeply committed Christians who diligently study the Bible and faithfully follow the Lord, it's common to see spiritual growth stall after a few years of devotion. And I know I can relate to that dynamic. It seems like we can hit a plateau where progress slows to a crawl, but real compelling vision moves us past these plateaus. And it's important to know that the vision behind spiritual transformation is for living in the scope of God's active, powerful will. What this means and looks like is that it's becoming like Jesus, being partakers of his divine nature, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, and then even walking as Jesus walked, as we see in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Our ultimate aim in this vision is to live fully in God's kingdom right now, in the present. It's not just in the hereafter, but it's in the right here and the right now, living fully in God's kingdom. This is a life-changing vision, and it does not come to us naturally. It does come through the inner working of the Holy Spirit. Bruce, any thoughts, any ideas, observations about this process?
Charles, I think I'm really caught up on the idea of vision. I think, you know, we talk about, you know, leading an organization, how important vision is. It inspires, it points us forward. Tell me where you see vision coming from in spiritual formation. Where does vision come from?
Well, I believe it comes from Jesus. Again, it is this pursuit of knowing him, you know, the kind of the cliche phrase that we throw around sometime of knowing him and making him known. That I think that can really, really encapsulate us for us in spiritual formation. The vision that drives us is to become like Jesus. And so you talked about that earlier with those three streams, how the fruit of the Spirit, that is the character, that is the nature of Christ. The gifts of the Spirit being the ministry of Christ, and then the activity of Christ being found in that daily dynamic relationship with the Father. And I would say, so all those things obviously lead us to being more like Jesus and becoming like Jesus. And then I would just throw my two cents in on that and say in Ephesians 6, Paul's talking about, you know, we're putting on, he's encouraging the believers in Ephesus to put on the full armor of God. Which again to me is a component of vision. He is identifying and illustrating for them a preferred future. Here's where you are, and here's who the church is now. But he says, finally, brethren, and what he means is, not this is the last thing, but rather finally, he's saying, from this day forward, as far as the rest of life and all of its challenges are concerned, from this moment forward, he says, brethren, he's talking to the church, so look, community, look, church, from this day forward, he says, stand strong, be strong, and stand against your adversaries. But then he talks about begin to put on the full armor of God. And every piece of that armor is, what he's saying is, he's saying put on Jesus. We think about the armor of God in the VBSs or children churches, children's crusades, things that I was a partaker of in my youth. Where someone might, you know, make the animal balloons or make swords out of balloons or a helmet of salvation out of a balloon. I mean, those are wonderful, wonderful illustrations for children to begin to grasp that. But what Paul is really saying is, put on the helmet of salvation. And who's our salvation? Jesus is. Put on the belt of truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. I'm the way and the life. Jesus is the gospel of peace. Jesus is the good news. All you can take every one of those pieces of wardrobe that Paul is using. He's using the metaphor of a Roman soldier's dress, and each of those pieces is equated to Jesus. And so, what Paul is saying, he's giving a vision for spiritual formation for the church in Ephesus and for us as well. And what he's saying is, look. Come together, and now from this point forward, for the rest of your life, as the church, put on Jesus. And so, I don't know if that answers your question, but
no, it does.
I feel good about what I'm saying over here.
It does. No, that's excellent. Charles, that's excellent. And that's just one example. I honestly think vision is all throughout the scriptures.
Yeah.
In terms of what God sees our life becoming. Through a transformative experience with Christ. Just yesterday, I was teaching on John chapter 15, and there are two things that stood out to me that Jesus says. He speaks of the Father as the vine dresser, and he takes away unfruitful branches, and that's a discussion for another day, but that he prunes, and you know, he brings the pruner's knife, and he begins to cut away those things that are sabotaging greater fruitfulness. And Jesus says, you're my disciples indeed, and you will bear much fruit. And he even goes on to talk about our prayer, how when we abide in him, we'll ask whatever we will, it'll be done for us. And so there's tremendous vision just in those passages coming straight from Jesus as he's hearing them from the Father.
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely true, that the vision for our spiritual life, it's not something that we're forming. It's not something that we're having to contrive. It's something that Jesus is speaking over us, declaring over us, pointing us mm-hmm. toward. And I think that's a compelling concept to begin to think of, what can my life look like in Jesus? What does a spirit-filled life look like?
Yeah.
How does God want to transform my relationships? Ask yourself, if I need to see fruit where I'm not seeing fruit in my relationships, then what would becoming more like Jesus in those relationships look like? Mm-hmm. That's vision. I think keeping that in front is compelling, compelling vision.
Yeah,
Charles, I think many. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, Bruce, that, you know, as spirit-filled believers, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in discernment, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. And so I'm thinking, you know, we're told and instructed in Scripture that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us. And so I think it's well within our theology and our understanding of relating to God. What is Jesus praying? If he's making intercession over us, then listen, I want to listen into the throne room of heaven. I want to begin to listen and to identify, what is Jesus praying over my life? What is he praying over my family? As I'm leading, wherever I'm leading, what is Jesus praying over those, over the church, over the Sunday school class, over the small group? What is he praying over his church? Because those are the prayers that I want to pray. And again, Jesus, he not only informs, but he forms the vision. And so I want to be able to hear what he's praying. And you alluded to this earlier, but in John 5:19, Jesus, I mean, he makes it clear. He says, look, I'm only going to do what I see my Father doing. And so he gives us the example. If that's how Christ modeled and lived his life, then certainly as his followers, we should do that. And he's given us, we have the Spirit of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. And 10 times out of 10, what does the Holy Spirit do? He always points us to Jesus. He always points us to the activity of Christ and who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing. So again, we see this partnership. The Holy Spirit's pointing us to Jesus. Jesus is only doing what he sees the Father doing. And so we have this divine vision. And again, man, I'm getting worked up over here. So just to try to pull it back and just to say, if Jesus has the vision for his church and we are the church as his people, then I need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life to point me to Christ, who's doing the will of the Father. And man, you want to talk about balance. I think that keeps us in balance. So, amen. Right. I've taken us down a rabbit hole, but no problem.
No. I don't think so at all. I don't think so at all. I think getting clear vision is vital. I think that also leads us to the possibility of getting out of balance, because I think one thing that many people assume is that once I know a sense of what God wants to do in my life, maybe I become limited in the decisive action that I take. Mm-hmm. So I think, Charles, what I mean by that is, there are many Christians that I think they hope that regular church attendance, being involved in a Bible study, mm-hmm. I think those are common go-tos when they think about, you know, spiritual transformation. Yeah. And they hope that those will be, you know, the decisive catalysts in their life to become the kind of person God calls them to be. And I think they're valuable. I'm not here to diminish them. I'm just saying they can only take us so far, can't they?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, what we're after is lasting, sustainable, you know, transformation, changing our hearts and our minds from the inside out. And that requires more than just checking off a list of activities. You know, it's not that God's giving us the honey-do list. What he desires from us is direct partnership with the Holy Spirit. So that's intention. We're talking about vision, but that's intention. This direct partnership with the Holy Spirit, committing to decisive and strategic actions that create space for us to encounter God working in our lives. You know, you talked about church attendance as a means in this process of spiritual formation. And again, listen, we want you to go to church. We want you to go there. We're not discounting or diminishing that in any way. But we want all these things to be more than a gold star on your chart of spiritual formation. Mm. We want this to be a direct partnership, a dynamic partnership, where you are partnering with God Himself, in coming alive in the Spirit, in coming alive and being formed and made into the image of Christ. So an example, your quiet time. You know, that's a common kind of, not a talking point, but that's something that we emphasize in church leadership. Listen, if you want to grow in Christ, you need a daily or consistent quiet time. And we think, well, that's going to change us, but what it can often feel like is more like cramming for a test than it feels like something that's life-giving. And man, I've talked to a lot of Christians over the years that just get caught up in the life of their quiet time leaks out, if that makes any sense. And now it is. It's just, it's, do you remember, I think it was in the 70s, or it was a long time ago, Dunkin' Donuts had their guy, I can't remember his name, but he was the one that made the donuts, and his line was, "Time to make the donuts," and they had the commercials, and just wasn't a lot of joy in his heart in doing the job, but he was punching the clock, and his line, "It's time to make the donuts," you know, and so I think that's how we feel sometimes in this spiritual journey with the Lord it's devotions time again. It's time to have devotions, and we just, and there's something to be said for consistently showing up. So that's important. But where's the joy and where's the life of Christ in that? And oftentimes we understand when the life has leaked out, we're missing a vital component, and that's the Holy Spirit. Now, quiet time and devotions have simply evolved into something that I have to do, and there's no the life of Christ is not in it for whatever reason. Something has disconnected in this direct partnership with the Holy Spirit. And so we want to kind of take a look at that. And so the key is this: what we want to do is not just check the boxes, is not just make the donuts. It's we want to cultivate a dynamic relationship with God that goes beyond just studying the Word and just obeying the rules. What we want to structure our lives to make room for a genuine connection with Christ, with the one who nourishes our soul, the one who brings about real change in our hearts and minds. And so, Bruce, I hope I haven't created a word salad here, but I feel like I've talked a lot and maybe talked around a lot of things. Our intent is not to be vague and just philosophical all the time. Let's talk about some of the means of spiritual formation. Give us some of the practical nuts and bolts that can help us to invite and facilitate the life of the Spirit back into some of those means.
Charles, I didn't hear any word salading going on. I heard some very clear ideas about the intention that, you know, it's about taking decisive actions that lead to the vision. It's not about checking boxes and gold stars. It's about creating, I love that, creating space with the Holy Spirit, cultivating that genuine relationship with the Holy Spirit. The only thing I will say is that you mentioned donuts and checking boxes, and all I could think of is I'd like to check a box of donuts right now. But you're thinking about where to begin. That's where we talk about means. Means are the way we make space for God. That can take many forms. But, you know, before we dive into what those practices look like, I think there's something we need to remember. And that is that we have to prevent those means from just becoming the check just becoming the time that we filled. It needs to be an encounter. Spiritual disciplines do not change us. They don't. Yeah. Encountering Christ through those means is what transforms us. Maybe and so our role is to carve out space for God. It's just to create space for fellowship with the Lord. And, you know, traditionally there's all sorts of means that have been part of the early church. And then the church that followed the early church, a lot of times we talk about the first century church as though that's the end all be all. But you know, there was a second century church, there was a third and fourth century church, and they built on the habits and the practices that cultivate a transformed life. And so we want to create those opportunities for listening to God, encountering the Holy Spirit, because God's role is to speak truth into our souls. It's about changing us from the inside out. So, Charles, how about you start? What are some means that you think of when it comes to spiritual transformation?
Sure. I think a good beginning point is something that's probably familiar to a lot of believers. And it would be this: in our private and public spiritual disciplines, as we think about prayer, you know, there are different forms of prayer, and that's a great place to begin to explore different types of prayer. Again, we get locked into one form, and now all of a sudden the form becomes sacred. And we look to the form instead of the life of the Spirit. And so if you're locked into just one form of praying, begin to explore. There are multiple ways in which we can pray. And so forms of prayer, fasting. I don't know about fasting. I know it's powerful, but man, it's tough to do. I'm like you. I'm looking for that box of donuts. You know, it's time to eat the donuts. But fasting is a powerful way to really accelerate and intensify our spiritual formation. Mm-hmm. Interaction with the Word. Are we just reading it, or are we engaging? Are we interacting with the Word? And we can do that through journaling, and there's all kinds of ways to journal. For me, I'm a bullet point kind of guy, and I make bullet points. I know some people who are more artistic and creative, and their journaling is a work of art. I mean, they're drawing and illustrating, and so. You know, there's ways to explore that, but we want to interact with the Word in our times of worship, practicing a personal Sabbath. Who would have thought that actually practicing the Sabbath is a means in our private and public spiritual disciplines to help us form up spiritually. A second category of means could possibly be in small groups. What a powerful way to be formed spiritually, to become more like Christ than in small groups. You know, the popular scripture that gets thrown around a lot is that iron sharpens iron, but that happens in a small group environment. Just as a personal endorsement and testimony of the power of small groups in our spiritual formation is that I found tremendous healing in a small group, and that particular small group, the context of that was an educational cohort I was in seminary doing my master's work, had just come out of probably one of the most difficult seasons of my life in the ministry, and for 14 months, for 1 week out of every month, for 14 months, gathered with pastors from around the United States in an educational cohort. Yes, to receive a world-class education, but greater than that was I found healing. I found healing in those relationships, in that small group dynamic. In fact, towards the tail end of the cohort, our professor or mentor, folks that were running the cohort asked me, they said, Charles, what has this experience meant to you? And I'm telling you with all sincerity, I said, this cohort has meant salvation to me. And man, I meant that. God saved me. God healed me in a small group. And I found through a direct partnership with the Holy Spirit, through with God and God's people, I found the life of God entered into my life in such a powerful way that I had never known before. I encountered Jesus over those 14 months through personal relationships in a small group, like I had never experienced God before, and God healed me. God absolutely, He touched my life. That was transformative. I've never been the same. That is a milestone marker. That small group in my life, and I give God praise for that. And so I'm a huge advocate for small groups, especially as it relates to spiritual formation. Bruce, any other means by which we can be formed up spiritually?
Yeah, I just want to say, I think, Charles, there's something that I'm hearing in your words, and knowing a little bit about your experience, but I would say that you had to really go through the difficulty of intention to get to that means. There was cost involved. There was commitment. You put yourself in a situation where God used that to really speak into your life, and God used it a small group. And well, we don't have time to get into some of the dynamics that are in small groups that help in spiritual formation. Mm-hmm. But one I've got to touch on is that just the whole relational dynamic that God has made us to relate to people. God has ordained that lots of spiritual growth in our lives happens in the context of relationships, and you needed people that would share a journey with you, people that would speak into your lives, people that would speak as the Holy Spirit was prompting them into your life. And it's very hard to segment what was going on, because it's such a comprehensive experience. But I'm sure if you go back and you catalog that small group experience, you could probably point a time to where someone shared something and it was an aha moment for you, or in the struggle of the learning that God began to pick some things into your life and focus on those. So, you know, that's such a vast ocean of opportunity, you know, for spiritual formation in small groups. And I just thought that was powerful, the way you should always, I never grow tired of hearing that testimony. But I think that illustrates, you know, one thing we're talking about. Nothing, when you mentioned, you know, spiritual disciplines, there is a private and a public component to each of those. Worship that you experience corporately, well, there probably needs to be a private worship that you participate in too. So getting some balance, I think, in your spiritual disciplines is important. And you mentioned how one form of prayer can almost become rote and just another activity. And sometimes it is helpful to venture into other forms, and you'll be surprised. Maybe not even for a long term change of habit, but just experiencing a new form of prayer, a new form of Bible reading. You know, where you're not, maybe where you're maybe instead of reading the Bible silently, listen to the Bible audibly. Open up your Bible app and hit the play button, because there are readings that you can actually listen to. That's that's a whole tried, true spiritual discipline. A lot of times as Pentecostals, we don't think about Lectio Divina, you know, experiencing the listening to the audible word of God. If I were to add one more means, I would say that it's the means of a spiritual director. And that might be a mentor, it could be a coach. In our tradition, we don't hear a lot about spiritual direction. I wrote a whole paper on it for my doctorate, so I want to put the plug in for spiritual direction. I think there's something vital about journeying with someone who's either a peer, who can be like a spiritual friend, or they may be trained in coaching. I think there's a lot of value in that. It's valuable. It's valuable enough to me that I've spent a lot of time trying to cultivate skills because I want to offer that to people, just to be someone with them on a journey. And so I think that's another worthy means, especially in our day and age where relationship is such a premium. And I believe it's important to have those structured relationships at times where we can walk through a season of life with maybe some guidance, maybe someone that's just going to listen to us as we talk. And so I would say, Charles, where you talked about small groups and the value of small groups on your spiritual formation, I got to tell you, I've had the same experience, both in small groups, but also with coaches, you know, spiritual coaches, people that could help me think through and strategize and formulate and get a perspective on what I saw God doing in my life. You'll be surprised how often God will use people to embody His love for you, His wisdom for you, and so those are important relationships. And so that's one thing I would add when we talk about means. So this has been fascinating, Charles. This has been a lot of fun. I know this is certainly something I'm passionate about, but I appreciate you engaging in the topic, and I think this is going to be a helpful podcast for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's our prayer, man. We pray that every episode is beneficial to the body of Christ, but man, especially in the area of spiritual formation, and man, we just our prayer and our encouragement to everyone listening is that don't allow your journey of spiritual formation to just become a journey of checking the boxes, but get into these streams, get into the streams of the life of Christ, and have a direct partnership with the Holy Spirit. And just encounter Christ and experience the life transforming, just the life of Christ. Flood your life and come and change you and transform. It's not very eloquent, but that's our prayer. That's what we're praying over our viewership and listeners that are on this journey with us. That together we'll be transformed by the life of Christ, that we'll do just as Paul encouraged the church in Ephesus, put on the armor of God, that we'll put on Jesus. And when we put on Jesus, we look like Jesus, and we become like Jesus. And so that's Amen. What we're praying for you. Well, it has been a great episode. We've enjoyed ourselves immensely. We're thrilled and just honored that you've joined us. Thank you for being with us today on the Five Gifts podcast. And please remember to like, to follow, to subscribe, to share. Be the greatest evangelist for the Five Gifts podcast. Help us get the word out and share what God's doing through this ministry. You can reach Bruce at coachingcardia.com. And he can help you with a plan, with a process of spiritual formation. He is a great spiritual formation director, mentor, and coach in that regard. And so he would be honored to help you. You can reach out to me at charlesrussellministries.com, or you can find me at charlesrusselltraining.com. And would love to be of service to you as well. With all that being said, thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you again next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments to give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.